Hi, I'm Rob Watson. On Monday, community leaders, researchers and residents gathered at the African Caribbean Centre in Leicester for the formal launch of the Better Together report into the 2022 unrest in the city. The report was introduced by Dr. Sabir Sinar, who outlined the scope of the inquiry and its findings on community tensions, civic response and the role of institutions. Contributions were also made by Professor Chetan Bhatt and Professor Juan Mendez, who reflected on the wider implications for social cohesion, democratic resilience, and the responsibilities of public authorities. In my report, we hear from the speakers and consider what the findings may mean for Leicester's future and for the ongoing work of rebuilding trust across communities.
Yeah. Hi, everyone. Good morning and welcome to this event. My name is Sabir Sinar and I'm the director for the South Asia Institute at the School of Oriental and African Studies, University of London. I'm one of the three PIs for this inquiry. We'd like to basically say that, I'd like to welcome all of you warmly and thank all of you for attending this particular event. I'd like to thank the Afro-Caribbean Center for hosting and giving us space for this particular event here. This is primarily a press briefing, basically from the end of this event, the report and the executive summary, which is titled Better Together, Understanding the 2022 Violence in Leicester. Both of these things will be available for download. And this is basically the result of almost 2.5 years of extensive and deep research conducted by us and, more importantly, a team of researchers that we recruited, as well as a number of community-based activists who are from Leicester. This is basically our version and what we think is a definitive and highly detailed piece of research on the events leading up to the violence of the summer of 2022, and also a set of recommendations that we hope the members of this community will find useful in terms of dealing with what happened and to make sure that such events don't happen again. I'm very happy to see that a number of people of the community...
Welcome all of you to this press briefing to announce the publication of the report that we have prepared on the violence that took place in Leicester in September 2022 between members of different religious communities. As Dr. Sinar has mentioned, I was asked to chair this independent commission of inquiry, whose other members are here today. The commission was served by a brilliant team of doctoral and postdoctoral students who conducted the research that forms the basis of this report, and advised by a group of Leicester-based community activists who gave us very wise counsel. I am grateful to all of them for their rigorous and meticulous work. I especially want to thank the people of Leicester who agreed to meet us and who have generously given us their time and testimonies, including at our public hearings and community meetings. During our investigation, we interviewed over 80 persons, many of whom were witnesses to the events in 2022. We gathered information from over 100 other individuals through a survey that we conducted, and we met informally with many individual citizens and organizations during our work. Altogether, we estimate that we have heard from at least 300 residents of Leicester from across all communities. The inquiry investigated the events in detail and verified the facts through various sources, principally to establish what happened and to dispel myths that had circulated at the time in social networks, misrepresentations that had themselves generated a climate of fear and vindictiveness. We also delved into the proximate and historic reasons for the violence and community disharmony in Leicester and evaluated the response of the relevant statutory agencies to the violence. We believe we have a very full picture of the events that took place and the background factors that led to them, and we believe ours is the most comprehensive investigation into this matter so far. Our report on violence between Hindus and Muslims in Leicester during 2022 emerges in a volatile and polarized environment. migrant and Muslim communities face a hostile climate, while far-right parties and ideas have surged with a visibility unmatched since the 1970s. The violent targeting of migrants has become a recurring feature of far-right mobilization. Local tensions are further sharpened by international events, including those in South Asia. I stress that we did not look into individual criminal responsibility, as that should be the remit of police and courts. Partly because of continuing divisions, we also do not name individuals from Leicester in our report, as we have been cautious about fueling recriminations and any negative consequences for those individuals. While our report focuses on conflict between some groups of Muslims and Hindus in Leicester, this issue affects all residents of the city, white, black, South Asian, and others, all of whom have a stake in the city, its many communities, and the relations between them. We underline that there is no single community to blame for the violent events, and this should be taken as obvious. We would ask readers to consider all of the report rather than singling out a few incidents. It gives a holistic picture of the violence that erupted in 2022. To remind everybody of what happened, in August and September 2022, Leicester, a place that had been seen as a model of good community relations and multicultural harmony, experienced serious large-scale violence between Hindus and Muslims. The scale and nature of the violence between South Asians were unprecedented in the UK, with the violence threatening to spread to other major cities in Britain. The unrest was initially reported to have been sparked by tensions following an India-Pakistan cricket match in late August of 2022. But we show a pattern of incidents and conflicts that started from May of that year and continued well into September. Throughout this difficult period, many residents, and especially women within communities, worked hard to bring communities together, both during the confrontations and in the years since the violence. They constitute a reservoir of common sense and commitment to fairness and equality that can be counted upon in the future. We found that the violence in the summer of 2022 was preceded by months of an increasing tension, starting with a serious attack in May 2022, fueled by local disputes, antisocial behavior, and weak enforcement of regulations. These serious incidents from May 2022, which were not fully addressed by authorities, escalated into major violence in August and September, exposing significant failures of policing and civic leadership. Institutional responses from Leicester Police and Leicester City Council were lacking or inconsistent, with major gaps in intelligence, communication, and lack of attention to visible and active civic leadership. Many residents experienced considerable fear and disruption to their daily lives, including often a breakdown of relationships between neighbors. Social media misinformation and fear messaging played a key role in generating mistrust and hostility between groups of Hindus and Muslims. External political and ideological influences exacerbated local tensions and distorted public understanding of the unfolding events. This included sustained disinformation by Hindu nationalist organizations in the UK and India, and by political Islamist individuals in the UK. We show the influence of Hindu nationalism in several key events of 2022, as well in later narratives about the violence. The background to the violence includes serious economic and social deprivation across all communities that is especially affecting young people. Powerful Leicester voices aiming to forge peace and unity across communities, including the voices of many women and young people, were ignored or marginalized and need to be amplified and supported institutionally. We make many important recommendations that flow from our investigations and our findings, and these include recommendations to the City Council, to police services and political leaders, and religious and community leaders that are aimed at preventing future violence and strengthening community bonds. They include clear political leadership that rejects communal and sectarian campaigning and promotes shared civic identity. Community-assisted, accountable policing with improved understanding of communal dynamics and faster responses to emerging tensions. National and local action to counter misinformation and disinformation, including digital literacy initiatives. Communalism, understood with exclusionary and even supremacist connotations in the South Asian diaspora, needs to be urgently recognized and addressed at national and local levels. Targeted investment in youth services, housing, education, and community regeneration. And long-term rebuilding of shared civic and secular spaces to bring people across, to bring people together across religious lines, and specifically include young people from all communities. Thank you very much.
I'm Chetan Bhatt. I'm a professor of sociology at the London School of Economics, LSE. And I was one of the authors of the report and worked on leading the research team.
So one of the areas of the report is quite critical of media, particularly international and social media. But listening to what was discussed in the press conference then, nothing stood out about the provision of local media that's produced in the city, not by, if you like, by constituted groups, companies, organisations who've got that level of accountability. It's individuals might be online promoting their own channels or their own social media. Where do you get a sense that there is a problem, that we have a gap here?
So one of the things I would say about particularly the issue of polarization, divisiveness, and misinformation, disinformation, is that local, credible, reliable community media is critical. And it's critical because if it's trusted and it comes from the community, it forms part of the civic infrastructure of trust that is needed. So if as part of an ecology in which you can have fast responses to disinformation that's being spread within the community, that you can correct information, provide and put out credible information, that becomes a trusted local resource. That, I think, is critical.
In Leicester, there are state community media stations or organised groups tend to be identity-based or faith-based. The issue about investing in this as a secular issue, how would that fit with the issues that you're thinking through?
I think all community radio stations are important and they serve different audiences for different purposes. But if they're based purely on a particular identity, whether it's a religious identity or an ethnic identity and so forth, then immediately you've got a division in the media, right? You've got a local division in terms of the interests and so forth. Now, that may be fine. It's about people's different cultural preferences, their sense of belonging, the feeling of community that they belong to. But it doesn't necessarily work towards instilling a common civic pride, and it doesn't help in engaging people in collaborative, cooperative, purposive things that are important for the city and for the community as a whole. This is why I think secular media, or media that's neutral with regard to a community, that still does engage with people from across communities and is able to do that, is vital.
I'm going to ask you a slightly different question, which is about the word community itself. Is that to some extent now becoming a bit too... It's become a bit of a problem in itself, because we're talking about specific groups of people in specific neighbourhoods and with specific concerns. And when we use the word community, it's like we just kind of... It's almost become meaningless in its own terms in a way. Has that been a problem through the process of, you know, the report production?
Communities are symbolic as well as material, and sometimes they reflect actual people living in a residential area.
I suppose the point is that new communities are going to be formed, because one of the things we've seen in Leicester since 21, 22 is a third of the city, the population of the city has changed and responding to that change. So what are we talking about when we're talking about communities?
So communities are symbolic and they're meaningful for people. But they can also reflect some material realities in the way that there might be patterns of migration or residential settlement, even segregation of different parts of the city. But it's important to recognize that community is dynamic. It's not a static thing that remains forever. People move, new populations migrate or move to a particular area. People change towns, cities, or places in towns and cities where they live. So within that, you have to think about what are the common civic purposes that can be served. And that could be, previously it was talked about as thinking of the population as a community of communities. But now increasingly, we need to think about ways in which the idea of community can be positive, but also ways in which it can lead people to separate themselves from other people who live cheek by jowl with them.
Just one last question. What did you personally get from the experience of working on the report? Has it changed your views in any way?
I would say the most heartening thing that I thought during the research, and it was, we're talking about 2 years of research, was listening to individuals and witnesses to different events and hearing really powerful stories where in the midst of violence, and we're talking about a situation that was dangerous for everyone involved and everyone who was there, you had people, irrespective of their religious or ethnic background, undertaking acts of mutual support, helping people irrespective of whichever communities they came from, and helping people across what others would see as a religious divide. And there were some really truly heroic acts during the horrible violence that we saw that are commendable. And it's people like that that need to be strengthened and their voices amplified.
I'm Juan Mendez. I'm a professor of international law, retired from American University in Washington, D.C. And I was asked to chair this commission of inquiry that we've been working together now for like 3 years to produce this report.
Now, my area of interest is community media. And one of the things that the report talked about was the role of media in terms of international mainstream media, if you like, and then also social media. And one of the things it's not mentioned in the report, and that might be an indication of an absence which is difficult to define, the role for civic, independent, local, place-based community media. Do you have any thoughts on that?
Well, we were very careful not to imply that the way to deal with the disinformation and misinformation or even with hate speech is automatic censorship or just trying to act as gatekeepers as to who is legitimate media and who is not. But we also think very seriously that social media particularly has been very toxic, very poisonous, and especially in situations like intercommunal strife, like we were investigating in Leicester in 2022. So what we relied a lot on mainstream media and on some non-mainstream but credible media, and including community media, to try to separate the facts from the lies, and we spent a lot of time investigating that, and we were able, for example, to corroborate some things and also to debunk some of the myths. Without credible media, we wouldn't have been able to do it on our own. So definitely we believe community media and independent media more generally is an important source for when you want to find out and tell the truth. So by all means, we We spent a lot of time on that, and we hope that our report reflects also that what we're calling for is responsible use of the media, and particularly we recommend content literacy and the ability of people who read these news reports to discern who can be trusted and who cannot.